message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad to have you with us today, and we're happy and proud that you've joined us for another time of study in the Word of God. We're going to turn again in our broadcast and our Bible study together to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, where the Apostle Paul says, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." You know, this is a Bible study program. Our purpose in this broadcast is to look into the Word of God and to study what God says in the pages of His Word. We're a people of a book, and that book is the Bible. We're not a people who just have confidence in the fact that we have an old religion and an old faith, or the fact that we feel that we're right and other people have missed the boat. Rather, we're a people of a book. The one thing that stands above everything else to be the anchor of our soul and the rock upon which we stand is the written Word of God. God wrote a book. That's a wonderful thing to know. He wrote a book and gave it to us, has preserved it down through time and history as an objective standard for us to go by. You see, when you have a book, have you ever noticed that books, when they're printed, they never change their mind? They always say the same thing they've always said. They don't ever change what they're saying. They don't ever go back on something that they once said. They don't ever go somewhere and then say something different. People do those things, but not a book. A book is static. A book is objective. And it's a standard that God has written and given to us for us to go by, one that equips us. That's why he says that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is for our profit. It's written so that we can have profit in our lives. Some people have the idea that the Word of God is written to hinder them and to hurt them and to restrict them or to tear them down. But he says in the passage, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And that's a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Happy are ye if you know these things, if you do them." And my friend, the only real sure path to joy and happiness in all of life is to have the Word of God and to build your life on this blessed book. So it's important that we come to God's Word. It's important that we not just go to the wisdom of men or the traditions of religion, but that we come to God's Word in order to come to God Himself. And when we do come to the Word of God, it's important that we come to it as it is the Word of God, that we have confidence and that we trust God's Word. And when I say that to you, I'm aware of the fact that there's a tremendous debate today as to just what God's Word is and where it is. There are all kinds of versions of Scripture in the marketplace today. You can go into any Christian bookstore and you can find a myriad, just a Bible babble of all different kinds of Bibles, different translations of the Word of God, different Greek and Hebrew texts that the translations come from. And amid that Bible babble of various versions and perversions that are available today, we know God wrote a book. He says He did. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But you know, it's wonderful to know that God didn't just write a book, but the book that He wrote, He preserved through history so that you and I can get our hands on it today. It's an amazing, wonderful thing, and it's borne out in the passage we're studying. Notice in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But He just told you in verse 15, He just told Timothy that from a child, thou, that's Timothy, has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Timothy had the Scriptures. He'd been taught the Scriptures from a child, and yet he turns right around in the next breath and says, all Scripture's given by inspiration of God. God wrote it down originally. Scripture, the word graphe, means something that's written down. And he writes it down. And God wrote it down originally. And people have the idea that, well, God, when he originally wrote it down, then it just was left and it's just been lost and treated like any other book. But that's not the case at all. When God wrote his book, God Almighty superintended the care of that book and brought it down through history intact so that Timothy, Paul can say, has known from a child the Holy Scripture. Timothy actually had the Word of God in his hands to read. Now think for a minute. Did Timothy have the original manuscripts that were written down, the original autographs as they're called? No, you know he didn't. What Timothy had was copies of the Word of God. In fact, the probability is that Timothy had a translation of the Word of God. Certainly an updating of the language, because Timothy, though he had a Hebrew mother, had a Greek father, and Timothy is speaking Greek. Paul's speaking Greek to him. He was a Greek speaker, and no doubt he had a copy of the Word of God that had been translated into his language, and Paul still calls it the Scripture. Now, you learn something from that. You learn that the Word of God, God wrote it down, perfect and inerrant. He wrote his Word, and his words are true from the beginning. Then he's preserved that Word through history so that it wasn't lost somewhere along the way, but that it's been preserved intact and whole. The purity of his Word has been preserved, and Timothy had a copy of it. You and I can have a copy of it just like Timothy did. I mean, if God can preserve it to Timothy's days, he can preserve it to our day. His purpose is to preserve his Word through history in a multiplicity of copies, everybody having their copy so that the Word of God can't be lost, so that they can read the Word of God and study the Word of God. In fact, even in the translation that Timothy had, it's still called the Word of God. You see, God's Word, now listen, God's Word is still God's Word even when it's translated into other languages. You don't have to go back to the original language and learn a new language, the Greek language or the Hebrew language, in order to be able to read God's Word. Rather, God's Word in Scripture, in the Bible, is very clear that God's Word is still His Word, even when it's translated into another language. For example, when Moses went to speak to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh the message from God, let my people go, in Exodus 5. Moses goes in there and he says to Pharaoh, Mr. Big, you know, he says, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh responds to him and he says, who is the Lord God that I should let his people go? Who is this God you're talking about? Now think about the conversation for a minute. Pharaoh was an Egyptian. Moses had been raised in Pharaoh's palace. The Pharaoh that was on the throne there, no doubt Moses and he were similar in age and had been raised together. They would have known one another. Moses knew the Egyptian language. When he went into Pharaoh's court, do you think Moses talked to Pharaoh in Hebrew? Well, do you think Pharaoh talked to Moses in Hebrew? No, you know what they did. They talked to each other in the Egyptian language, without a doubt. But you know what Moses did in Exodus chapter 5 when he wrote the conversation down in a Bible the first time in the original manuscripts? It was written in the Hebrew language. Now what happened? God the Holy Spirit, through the pen of Moses, translated the conversation and the words of Pharaoh out of Egyptian into Hebrew and wrote it down. I mean, the original writing of Exodus chapter 5 verse 2 was a translation. You see, God's Word is still God's Word even when it's translated in the original. Come with me to Acts chapter 22 and I'll show you this again. It's important, and you might not understand why it's important, but maybe you do. The fact is that the Word of God is still the Word of God, and there's this idea that people have that, well, that's just a translation. No, no, my friend, it's still God's Word. It still is the authoritative, a powerful, living Word of God. Is just as authoritative and just as real and just as conclusive and just as reliable and just as accurate in the translation, if it's the right translation, as in the original. Acts chapter 22. Paul is going to stand here on the steps of the temple, and he's going to preach to the Jews in Jerusalem. And he says, "Men and brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent. And he spake and he preached to them on down through the passage. In Acts 22, you have the message that Paul delivered to the Jews there at their temple. And he spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue. But do you know that Luke, when he recorded the book of Acts, recorded it in the Greek language? That is, Luke, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Luke writing as the Spirit of God moved his pen. I mean, every word, the Bible says that the Scripture is every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what inspiration is. It's God breathing out the words, writing the words through the pen of Luke. He takes the preaching of Paul in Hebrew, translates it into the Greek language, and it's still exactly what Paul said. So you see, you don't lose. You're not a second-class citizen today because you don't read the Greek or Hebrew language. You in your language, in the English language, we have God's Word. And when you have a King James Bible, you have the Word of God preserved for us in our own language. Now, that's important for you to understand that. The King James Bible is the Word of God preserved for you and me in our language. And it's the text and the translation of the Protestant Reformation. And my friend, to abandon the authorized version of the Scripture, to abandon the King James Bible, is to abandon our heritage as Bible-believing Christians. I'll give you an illustration. In Luke chapter 23, verse 33, it says that they took the Lord Jesus Christ out and they came to a place called Calvary. They crucified him there. Do you know that a King James Bible is the only English Bible available today that uses the word Calvary? That word is only found one time in your Bible. It's in Luke chapter 23, verse 33. If you've got a Bible other than a King James, look it up and see, and you won't see the word Calvary in your Bible. Did you ever sing the song, "At Calvary, years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary"? Well, you can't sing that song. So you lose the connection with our heritage. All of your hymns about Calvary have to go out the window because it isn't in the Bible any longer. If you jettison a King James Bible, you jettison the connection that we have with our Bible-believing heritage. And it's something you don't want to do. All of the versions, all of the modern versions, the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the Good News to Modern Man, the Living Bible, and all the rest, the Revised Standard Version and the New Revised Standard Version, and all the rest of the modern versions of the Scripture that have come out on the marketplace in the last 40 or 50 years, especially the last 100 years. Those Bibles, they're different from the King James Bible. There's a difference, and the difference is more than just the way they translate verses. The difference is the difference in the text they're translating as well as the way they're translating. And it's important for you to understand that. It's important for you to understand that when you read in Luke chapter 2, verse 33, that in a King James Bible says, "Joseph and his mother marveled." And you read in the New Bible, it says, "His father and his mother marveled." The difference between father and Joseph in Greek is the same as it is in English. It's two different words. They're spelled different. They have different meanings. And my friend, Joseph was not the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have that little twinge of doubt placed upon the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Bibles, you need to understand that the reason they do that is that they're translating a Greek text that's been changed. Now, we're going to go on with some other things about that today, but I emphasize that on the program today because we've talked about it in the last few weeks. And I want you to understand that when you come to the Word of God, we have God's Word in our hands when we have a King James Bible. Don't let somebody take that away from you. Don't let somebody come along and say, "Well, it's too hard to read." Listen, you're parents, your grandparents were just as, I mean, they weren't smarter than you are. You're not some dumb cluck generation come along here that can't read. If your parents could read it and your grandparents could read it and you can read it, your kids can read it. I've got children. I've got three children almost grown, gone through their childhood and through their teenage years. And they can read it, memorize it, recite it, and tell you back what it means. It takes a little work. But anything worth having takes some work, doesn't it? No, we don't live in an age that are too dumb to read it. There are ulterior motives, religiously and economically, that cause people to go to these new Bibles. And my friend, when they do, they're moving you away from the bedrock of what you can trust. You trust that King James Bible, and you've got God's Word in your hand, and you can depend upon it. You can rely on it. It's able to make you wise unto salvation. Now, let me say something to you about that. We've been talking to you about that in the broadcast the last few weeks, and if you'll recall, I've showed you verses. Put them on the screen so you can see them, the different verses and how the versions change the verses and how you can tell there's a difference. You don't have to take my word for it. You can look objectively at the words on the page in these Bibles, and they'll teach you what you need to know about them. Now, if you didn't catch those broadcasts and you weren't with us, or maybe you didn't make notes of them if you were, if you get you a pencil and a piece of paper right now. Don't wait till the end of the broadcast. Go get a pad and a pencil right now and get ready, because at the end of the program, our announcer is going to give you our address. And if you'll write to me at that address, P.O. Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108, if you'll write to me, I'll send you a cassette tape with the verses for you to sit down in the privacy of your own home and compare it for yourself, so that you on your own can tell which Bible is the right Bible. Find out whether or not you've got a Bible with mistakes in it or not. My friend, it's that important. It's important that you understand what God's Word is, that you've got God's Word in your hands, and that you can hold on to it, and that you can trust it, because God's Word is the closest thing you'll ever have in all your life to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There's such a connection between the living Word, the Lord Jesus, and the written Word. They're so vitally connected that sometimes you can't even tell them apart. And it's the written Word that points us to the living Word. For example, both the living Word and the written Word, think about this now a minute. They both have two natures. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ is very God, and yet He's very man. He's true God, He's true man. He's the theanthropic person, we call Him, the unique person of the universe. And yet, the Word of God, it's God's Word, and yet it had human authors, two natures. The Lord Jesus Christ can save you. He says that He ever liveth to save them that come to God through Him. And yet the Word of God can save you, the written Word of God. It's called the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. The Word of God judges you, whether it's the John chapter 12, whether it's the written Word or the living Word. The living Word of God. John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ says that the Father hath committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. In Acts chapter 17, Paul says that God has given a witness that He'll judge all the world in that He raised Him from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ is to judge all men, the book says, when God judged the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. And yet the Word of God, the written Word, is going to judge men. John chapter 12, verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days." The standard of judgment at the judgment will be the objective, absolute, final authority of the Word of God to go check. You see, that's why people don't like that book. They don't like it because it is the only absolute moral authority in this universe. Because, not because you can't tear the pages or write on it or throw it in the mud hole, but because it's the Word, it's the written Word of the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're that connected together. Not only can they be received and believed, and not only can they save you, but they can be rejected. He says there, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words." You see, if you reject the Word of God, the written Word of God, you reject the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the wonderful thing is they can also both be received. To them that received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, John says about the Lord Jesus. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that when you heard the word of God which is preached of us, you received it. Not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And that Word of God, when you receive what God says in His Word, you are literally receiving the Lord Jesus Christ because they are that closely united in the mind of God. No wonder the satanic attack is against the Word of God. You see, we have the Word of God, and it's the written Word of God that gives us contact with the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every contact, listen to me now, every contact you have with God Almighty outside of the pages of His written Word is on an inner subjective level. God is a spirit. But my friend, Psalm 104 says that He hath made His angels spirits. The only way that you can evaluate whether that subjective inner contact on that spiritual level that you had, the only way you can know whether you had a contact with the Spirit of Almighty God or with another spirit is to have an objective standard outside of yourself that is an absolute standard to measure those experiences by. And that's what the Word of God is. That's what the book is. It's that objective standard written down. No wonder Satan wants to dilute it. No wonder he wants to corrupt it. Oh, but we say with Paul, we're not as of many which corrupt the Word of God. A lot of folks out there want to corrupt it, but my friend, listen, if you'll just remember that when you take a King James Bible in your hand, you're holding in your hand the Word of the living God in your language where you can read it. Man came to our church just a few days ago. And he came in and said, "Brother Rick, look what I just bought." And he had just been to a drugstore in the neighborhood. And he'd gone in to buy some cough drops. And on the counter, he found a Bible, an old King James Bible, for sale for 99 cents. Can you imagine that? The truth of the eternal God on sale in your language for less than a dollar. Why? That's fantastic. And you know, my friend, when you come to the Word of God, you can have it, but you can also understand it. You can understand what God says in it, and that's important. There's a verse of Scripture I want you to see before we go off the air. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. 2 Timothy 2:15, before Paul ever said to Timothy about having the Word of God, he said this to him, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, it's not enough simply to have God's word. It's not a fetish, and it's not some religious token or medallion or fetish to carry around. God gave us His word. You want to know what it is, have the right one, but you also want to approach it and study it in the prescribed way. God has given us a prescribed way of studying His Word. And you know, I got to be honest with you, that book, the Word of God, can be the most confusing book in all the world if you don't study it right. Let me give you an illustration. We only have a couple of minutes, but I want to do this quickly. The Word of God has to be rightly divided. That means you have to mark the distinctions in God's Word. Well, take for example, God told the nation Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 4, that they were to keep the law that He gave to them through Moses. They weren't to add to it. They weren't to take away from it. They were to do it exactly like He gave them. They were to keep the law. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, "We are not under the law, but under grace." Now, wait a minute. Are you to keep the law that God gave Moses? Moses says, "Yes." Paul says, "We're not under the law." Well, that's a contradiction. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it seems like it, doesn't it? Genesis chapter 17, God told Abraham that all of his seed were to be circumcised, and if they weren't circumcised, they were to be cut off and could have no contact with God Almighty. They had to be circumcised to have contact with God. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, Paul says, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but the new creation. Isn't that interesting? Genesis 17, God says to Abraham, you've got to be circumcised, or I'll cut you off. God says through Paul, I'm not really interested in you being circumcised. Don't make any difference to me one way or the other. That's the difference. That's different. You can go on and on and on with those things. We'll do some of that next week and show you that. You say, well, does that mean the Bible contradicts itself? No. No, no. It's not a contradiction if you rightly divide the word of truth. If you understand the differences that God has made in His programs. You know what those are? Those are two different programs. One has to do with His purpose in prophecy. One has to do with His purpose in the mystery. One has to do with His purpose in the nation Israel. One has to do with His purpose through the ministry of the church, the body of Christ, of which we're a part of today in the dispensation of grace. You see, God says His will is that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to be saved and then stabilized. He wants you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and then to be edified in the faith. I hope you'll listen to this program week after week. Study with us. Write for the tapes that are given to you, for our Bible study monthly, and so forth. But most of all, that you'll learn for yourself how to rightly divide the Word of God so that you can be saved. And not only saved, but that you can be established in the faith so that you don't need a preacher, TV preacher, radio preacher, church preacher, whatever. You can enjoy their ministry, but you can have your feet resting solidly on the rock of the Word of God and build up the resources in your life through God's Word to the intake of the Scripture rightly divided. And I'll let you live for His glory day by day. Thanks for being with us today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Bible's for You. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 144. That's tape offer number 144. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rather divided word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. I'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.